And so I want to talk to you tonight about praying in the Spirit, or praying with the Spirit's help. And let's go to John chapter 15, verse 7. We're going to use two scriptures for our main text. And then we go to Ephesians 6, 18, and we're going to read two scriptures. We're going to clarify some things, what we want to do. And you know, give you a little introduction in terms of what we want to, where we want to go tonight. Praying with the Spirit's help. And let's go to John chapter 15, verse 7. This is our two verses of scriptures that we call the golden text around here about when it comes to prayer, because when you use those two scriptures, or when you use these scriptures, you actually can go to any kind of direction you want when you come into prayer. When we talk about prayer or teaching on prayer. So Jesus is talking about prayer in John 15, 7. And he goes on to say there in John 15, 7, King James, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Then we go to Ephesians 6, 18. Ephesians 6, 18, Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus. Of course, Jesus is talking to his disciples in the first verse of Scripture. In Ephesians 6, 18, it's a scripture not for what we call, you know, some time ago we called intercessors. You know, intercession is just one kind of praying. And most of what people are doing, you know, when it comes to real scriptural prayer or praying for other people is they are, you know, they're supplicating. That is praying God's whatever they need is. So Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We'll explain that in a moment, but let's go to John 15:7 first. "If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Well, Jesus is talking about prayer here, and he is talking about answered prayer. And so we all want our prayers answered. We want to pray, you know, and generally speaking, when we talk about prayer, prayer means talking to God or have a conversation with God or speaking with God. You know, speaking, having a conversation with someone means two things. You're talking and you're listening at the same time. So you're not only just talking to God, but also you're listening to God. So when you're praying, you're not only telling God different things, but you're also listening for him and receiving revelation or wisdom or direction or whatever guidance you need. And so he says, "If you abide in me," well, the first thing about prayer is that you need to abide in him. That is, get into God, be in him. And the only way you can get into him or abide in him and live in him, and that is, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that you need to become a new creation or a new creature, the King James says. So I want to, remind you that the Scripture says that, first of all, if we want to have our prayers answered, we need to get acquainted with God. We need to abide in him, become born again, live with him, walk with him, and become part of his family. And he says, secondly, not only that we need to be born again and belong to God's family and through the born-again experience, a spiritual experience, he says, "And my words abide in you." Secondly, my words abide in you. First, abide in him. Secondly, abide in his word, abide in you. That means that word needs to be living in you. It needs to be part of something that is real to you. When something is living, it means it's real. You know, this week I had such revelation about things that I thought I knew, but they became more deeper and more real to me than ever before. Embarrassing that I've been a Christian this long, and to have a revelation, a deeper revelation of realizing that God lives inside of me. And that same God who lives inside of me, he's everywhere else in the world for people that I'm praying for. For instance, if I was praying for someone and I cared for someone and they're in a hospital with some sickness, say COVID-19, and they're suffering, and I'm praying for that person, that same God who lives in me, if they're born again, lives inside of them. And that same God, at the very same moment that I'm praying for that person, is present right there. The Bible says in the Psalms, I forget what scripture that is, he says in there that God is a very present God. He's called Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. And a scripture that I was thinking about earlier and talks about it there, that when I pray, God hears me right away. I read that scripture today. When I pray, God hears me right away, and he answers me. And sometimes, you know, we'll talk about the maybe hindrances to that later on, but God answers you right away. He don't wait for 6 months. You know, some people say, when I pray, usually three things. That's what I heard many, many years ago when I first got saved. I was among people who actually thought this way and thought it was scriptural. It might be partly scriptural. They said, you know, when you pray, God either, when you make a request to God, either it's, you know, no, or yes, or maybe later. And so, you know, and of course, if people didn't get their answer right away, they would think maybe God doesn't want them to know, and devil gets on them. And also, to be safe, you say, well, maybe it's later, to make them feel good about the fact that they might get it, because they have hope that something will happen. So it's not faith, but it's hope. You know, hope is good. It gives you an aim for something, but you need faith to pull that hope together and make it a reality. So the Bible says that if his word abides in you, in other words, if the Bible becomes real to you, not only just a mental assent, when I talk about mental assent, just making a mental agreement that the Bible is true. You can say, oh, the Bible is true. I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But it's not real in your heart, because you haven't meditated on the Word. You need to meditate on the Word until it becomes real on the inside of you. So right now, I'm going to pray for every one of you and agree with you that what we're going to teach tonight is going to become a revelation to you, and that you're going to use what we give you as far as the Word of God is concerned, and you're going to begin to implement that Word, put it to great use, and begin to pray supernaturally with the Spirit's help. So let's all bow our heads in prayer wherever you are. Just take a quick second. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come together to you, before you in the name of Jesus. We're going to agree together by the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, that he'd give us revelation knowledge on anything we need to pray about and pray for. And so we yield our spirits, soul, and body to you tonight. So we give you praise for that revelation to flow within us tonight. We thank you for a great anointing that break every yoke of bondage. And Father, we shatter anything that would cause people to not think in line with your word. We give you praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read again our scripture verse in John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. When I was in Bible school, I took a prayer course with Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. We call him Papa Hagin, Dad Hagin. And he's Dr. Hagin to some people. He's Brother Hagin to most of everybody that we know. He called himself Brother Hagin. He's never called himself a prophet, although he was a prophet. He's also an apostle of faith. He's a great teacher. He's a great teacher, a man of God. And he was able to minister the Word of God to us. He said this in one of our teaching sessions, one of our classes, you know. In 1989, the Lord supernaturally spoke to me while I was in prayer. He said to me, I came home for lunch one day, and my wife was making some lunch, and she was home with the little ones. So I went to my office to pray. He said, call me when it's ready, and we're going to have lunch together. So anyway, I was praying, and the word of the Lord came unto me, And he's saying, go to Rhema and go now. I heard that. I was thinking about something else, but that word came to me. And it said that three times. Then I knew from my spirit, because my whole meditation and my whole mindset was praying about a certain thing, something. This was totally out of ordinary, and I knew right away, immediately, that God was speaking to me, because this was, I wasn't even thinking about this. And it would seem to be absurd, because this is a late spring, and Rhema's starting, and we don't have any money. It takes a whole lot of money to move to the States with your family, and a whole lot of arrangement to leave. But, you know, the Lord began to speak. So I told my wife, and she said, well, if it's real, then, whatever, if the Lord's leading you, let's go. She's learned after many years of living with me. It wasn't really that many years then, but it was about 10 years maybe, to trust me if I had a leading. And then she didn't get anything in her spirit as far as not doing it, but she knew that she could make an agreement with me. You know, sometimes when your husband or wife gets a leading, you might not always know right away if it's an amen for you right away, or if you don't know, you might not have the faith to do it. You think it's okay, but you might not have the faith to do it. And I learned this from Brother Hagin as well, is that if you don't have faith for something, just go ahead and stay neutral. Don't come against it. Don't speak against it. Just stay neutral until you get a leading or get the peace of God. So she said, okay, let's do it. If the Lord spoke to you, let's go ahead. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. But anyway, the Lord led me by the Spirit. So I was led to Tulsa, Oklahoma, by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, led me. And when I got there, the Lord confirmed it right away through Brother Hagin himself, and also through another teacher. But they didn't know that they were confirming this to me, because I was, you know, they were talking to me, but I knew the Lord was talking to me right away, because I had spoken to them that morning, one morning going to Bible school, and another occasion with our teachers. And so he said this in the prayer time, you know, he'd have prayer seminars there, and we'd go as a student body and join him for prayer, and he'd teach precept and prayer. He'd teach on the principles of prayer, and then he would demonstrate, and he'd show us how to pray by just watching and praying with him. So that's how we learn. You know, the only way to learn how to pray is to pray with somebody who knows how to pray. You can't always get it in the book. You need to go to a prayer group where you actually pray. If you guys need to know how to pray, you join Pastor Ken's group on this group here. They can pray. They get a hold of the Spirit, and they pray in the Spirit, and they learn. And you might not think you're learning. You're there, and you've been there for a while. You might not think you're learning, but you're learning a whole lot. And so you catch not only the principles, but also you catch the spirit of prayer. Now, he said this in that session, John 15:7. He used that scripture. And, of course, I took a course with him also. He taught prayer principles with us when he was not on his trips in ministry. When he's traveling, he'd teach on prayer. And so, I mean, he taught many hours over at Rhema. And he said this when he was teaching John from John chapter 15, verse 7. He said a number of things, but one of the things he said was, successful prayer is not based on anything else except you. Because Jesus puts the emphasis on the person doing the praying, not on God. So it's not on God's part if you have successful prayer. It's you praying right. And God will give us principles to pray so that we can pray right and get a hold of things in our spirit and grab a hold of it by faith and bring it right down to manifestation. Sometimes it takes a long time. Depends on what you're praying for. Things don't always fall into place. You ever notice that? You're praying for some individual in your life, but they don't always seem to fall into place immediately. It takes a while. Sometimes you might have to stand a long time for people, especially when they're not hearing God. Maybe they're not obeying God right away. It could be your children. Could be your husband. Could be your wife. But if you wouldn't give up, this is going to manifest. And the devil will tell you it's not working. But you need to stay steadfast. That's why the Bible tells us to be steadfast and stand on the word until you see the manifestation come. So he said, and he said, you ever notice in John 15, 7, let's notice this, if you abide in me, he mentions the word ye or you more than he mentions anything else. If ye abide in me, that's one time. And my words abide in you, that's another time. You shall ask, that's three, you shall ask what you will, that's four times, and shall be done unto you. So there's a whole lot of emphasis on you or the person praying when it comes to answered prayer. So for us to have successful prayer, we need to get a hold of everything we need to understand about prayer than anything else. I remember my assignment over 1991, 92, the Lord began to speak to me. I had no idea how to pray. I didn't know how to pray for myself. And yet I was a pastor. I didn't know how to pray for everything. I didn't know that there's different kinds of prayers. For the Lord said to me, I want you to teach the people to pray. It's funny that God will tell you to do things that you don't even know how to do. And or he'll lead you to someplace you don't know anything about. It seems strange in your mind, but God knows what he's doing, and he knows how to get information to you. He knows how to get you to get resources. And so I begin to understand this, and so I begin to put myself through school on prayer. And I started seminars. So while I was doing the seminars, I was studying hours and hours on end about prayer. Some things I should have gotten, maybe wouldn't emphasize as much as I did, because I'm a rookie. I didn't know what to do. But I started hitting the gusher when it comes to praying in the Spirit. And I didn't understand, because we started manifesting the power of God in our services. I thought it was fanaticism, and I thought it was excessive, but it was the Spirit moving among us. We had tremendous things happening in our midst. And, at that time, I never heard of anything. I never saw Christian television, didn't see any manifestations on like we see today. Everybody can watch anything now on television. Not everything should be seen on television. Some kind of praying should not be seen on television. It's not for everybody to see. Sometimes it's permitted, sometimes it shouldn't be permitted, because everybody's going to criticize it, and not everybody understands, and people will think you're crazy if you pray along certain lines. That's why I just don't blabber off in tongues and I jump up here Sunday morning, because I know some people are going to be critical right away. So there's a time and place to pray in tongues. You don't have to do it outright in front of anybody. Exercise your spiritual muscles. You got to be able to pray when the time is right, and you've already taught them right. If you taught people right, then you go ahead and pray in the Spirit. That's why people think half of us are nuts. So I want to mention John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. So the emphasis is on you. You need to do some study and start learning about learning how to pray right. First of all, be born again. Secondly, get the Word of God abiding in you. How do you get the Word abiding in you? Well, you need to start getting some teaching. Learn about who knows about preaching or teaching on prayer. So I begin to look at different things and find out who prays, who is a good prayer in the nation. Among our circle, I didn't want to get off out of our circle and get into something else. I stuck with my own gang, Just don't go off and go to another camp, so to speak, and they're doing things that maybe perhaps, might not be relatively what you need at that moment. So sometimes people do things that just get out of whack, and they get all mixed up and all upset, and things happen to them. So answered prayer really depends on you rather than God. God's God, and it's us that need answered prayer. So God provides us the methods on which we can have our prayers answered. So we need to get the Word abiding in us. And so if we get the Word abiding in us and we understand principles, then we're going to get a hold of how to pray right. He says there, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Notice that what you will. And that, that is not, you just don't ask for anything. You have to ask what you will in terms of what the Scripture is saying that you can ask. You don't act ask out of the context of the scripture. You got to ask in context according to the Word of God. Make sure that what you're asking for is in the will of God, within the Word of God. Say, for example, in 1 John chapter, let's go to 1 John for a second. I was going to mention this, but I thought I would. And I kind of thought this, I should add this in there. So I hope you're enjoying this wherever you are tonight. And if you do, to let my wife know, she's over here on my side, and she'll answer anything you have. I got any kind of question you got on prayer, I have an answer for you. I got an answer. It might be, I don't know, but still an answer. But if you ask any kind of prayer answer, I'll answer you. So I said, go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This is talking about prayer. You know, it says here, this is the confidence. Well, the word confidence is in relation to having faith. If you have confidence, you got faith. That's the only only place you ever get confidence is get into the Word of God. Confidence, you know, is come from the Word. And this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. In other words, this goes right to John chapter 15, verse 7. We have to ask according to His will. What is His will? His Word is His will. He's given us a covenant. He gives us the old covenant and the new covenant. We're new covenant believers. And so we have to ask God something. My wife actually said today, and that is, she said, she was asking, you know, somebody was asking about, you know, they were talking about something. She said, okay, so what scripture are you basing your prayer on? And my wife said, you know, come to think of it, I never really thought about what scripture I was going to use regarding that area. So she got, you know, and we started talking about different scriptures we could use for that particular context of prayer we were talking about. But so if you ask anything according to His will, in other words, anything that the Word says that's yours, you can ask for that. And He'll hear you. So, well, if it's in His Word, then He's going to hear you. But if it's not in the Word, then he promised not to hear you. See, asking, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if your word is not abiding in you, you're going to tend to ask for something that's not in the Word. Or you might ask for something, but you don't have the confidence because you didn't put the Word abide to live inside you. So if you don't have the Word living in you, it's hard to ask for something if you don't know what the Word is. So verse 15 says, and if we know that He hears us, and we just finished reading in verse 14 that He does hear us when we ask according to His will. And if you know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired. In other words, when you know you're asking in context with the Word, you can be satisfied that you know that you got your petition answered because you've asked according to the will. You can say, thank God, I'm praying in accordance to the will of God, according to the Word of God. So I want to get that across to you to show you that you can ask anything according to the Word or the will of God, and it's going to be granted unto you. So let's go over to Ephesians 6:18, you know, where this is our another text. It says in here, praying always with all prayer. So we want to mention to you that there's all kinds of prayer. You know, the Ephesians, I think the Amplified talks about all manner of prayer, all kinds of prayer. So there's not just one kind of prayer. There's many kinds of types of prayers. You know, there's the prayer of faith, the prayer of casting your cares upon the Lord, the prayer of forgiveness. There's group prayer or unity prayer. You know, there's a praying, binding and loosing. There's prayer that speaks about, you know, when two shall agree on earth, agreement in prayer. There's a prayer to submit your life to God. There's a prayer of submission to God and dedication to God and consecration to God. There's a prayer that you should do it regularly. Prayer of forgiveness should be done regularly. Because that will, if you don't forgive, I was reading this morning, if you have a grudge against anybody, any animosity, any kind of negative thinking towards people, don't you think you can get away with it? Because you got to get rid of that before your faith's going to work. And so it's important that you keep your heart right, because the same heart that you're holding grudges against is the same heart you're supposed to use to believe God with. It's pretty difficult to have two things there that are opposite. Jesus said, your Father will not hear you. So, with all kinds of prayer, all manner of prayer. So there's more than one prayer. And so we're going to talk about, in a few minutes, praying in the Spirit. So another kind of praying is praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit. That's one kind of prayer. So I'm going to show you something here. Hang on. It says supplicating in the Spirit. And I want you to understand this. Look at this term. It says supplicating in the Spirit. He didn't say supplicating in the mental. He didn't say supplicating in the natural. He didn't say supplicating with your mind. He said supplicating in the Spirit. Praying always with all kinds of prayer. Now you're going to use, that means you're going to be able to pray. You know, when you pray, you're going to use all kinds of prayer. Say you start praying and you were going to pray for a certain area and the Lord's, and you just got quiet with God and you start worshiping God and God says, hey, wait a minute, there's some things you need to take care of before we start doing business in the Spirit. You need to ask for forgiveness and release that hurt or anger that you got about different things and leave that there and let it go. That's what it means. Forgive means forgiveness. I looked that up today. The words, you know, the Bible says if you have aught against anybody, forgive. That means the word forgive means to let it go, leave it there. So you have to be able to let the things go and leave it with God. And so here it says supplicating in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we know that the only person that we know, the only way to pray for all saints is to supplicate in the Spirit and to know all kinds of prayer. Because sometimes, you know, you need to be able to supplicate for all saints or wherever God leads you to. So what we want to get out of this verse of Scripture is that there's all kinds of prayer, and there's another prayer called, there's another kind of type of prayer, a method of praying. Let me just say it this way, a method of praying, and that is praying in the Spirit. So there are all kinds of prayers. There's a prayer in the Spirit, as it's mentioned here in Ephesians 6:8. There's a prayer, there's all kinds of prayer, and there's a prayer in the Spirit. There's a mental kind of praying, and there's spiritual kind of praying. You can pray out of your mind or out of your heart. You have a choice. And many do not pray in the Spirit as much as they should be praying in the Spirit, because people don't know everything about the will of God, but Holy Spirit does. He knows how to pray. So you have to have faith. So if you're going to pray in tongues, you've got to have faith. You've got to be able to use faith if you're praying in the Spirit. There's no two ways about it. And so you have to believe that He is actually praying through you. And Bible says that God cannot intervene on earth unless some human being asks Him, because He has no right to come here and do stuff unless we ask Him. See, you know, He's not the God of this world, although He's the creator of all, everything. But right now, according to Scripture, that Satan is the god of this world. Jesus called him the prince and power of the air in John chapter, 14 there. He's the prince and power of the air. Over in Ephesians, Paul calls him the prince and power of the air. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 2. He's the prince and power of the air. And so 2 Corinthians, it says in 4, chapter 4, I think it's verse 4, it says that He is the God of this world. So things that are going on that's evil and negative and against, you know, the natural good nature is all caused by evil forces that's causing things. And so we have to learn how to pray in the Spirit in order to bring the will of God on the earth. And the only way to do that, a lot of times, is praying in the Spirit. So many don't implement prayer this way. They don't use praying in the Spirit as much as they should be, because they have never been taught. or encouraged to do it enough. I need to encourage myself to do it more. The Lord says to me, you need to pray more. So I've been trying to, remind myself to pray throughout the day. Don't just have one prayer time. You might stop and have a prayer time, but throughout the day, you need to continue to pray. You stay hooked in. And so, so many don't pray this kind of praying in the Spirit, because they've never had the Acts 2:4 experience, that is being baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking with tongues. There's two kinds of prayer we need to understand. So when you speak in tongues, you can speak a prayer language that is your own. And then there's another thing. You can have a ministry of speaking in tongues for the church, and you can speak in tongues to give a church, revelation knowledge. You need to speak in tongues and prophesy at the same time, because speaking in tongues, because prophecy, is just speaking the oracles of God out of your spirit. But, you need tongues and interpretation of tongues to equal prophecy. So many people don't do either. We need to learn and teach people how to do that. So very often I do it, and people don't even realize I'm actually doing it, because I don't make a show of it. I don't say, well, okay, right now I'm praying in the Spirit. Watch me. Shoko loma shitima. And right now I'll be interpreting for the next 5 minutes. No, you don't do that. You just go ahead and minister along. And you don't have to put on a show. Just go ahead and do it. So I want you to notice this way. Every believer needs to pray two ways. Number one, we should pray in tongues or pray in the Spirit. Number two, we should, we actually should have done the other way. We should pray with our mentality or with our understanding. So let's put it this way. Number one, we should pray with understanding or our mentality. Number two, we should pray with our spirit and pray in the mysteries of God. So let's go to John chapter 14, verse 14 and 15, I'm reading the King James Version. So we should pray two ways, praying in the Spirit and praying with our understanding. Let's go to verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, I think the King James uses the word unknown tongue, unknown. I think it's italicized. It's talking about tongues, unknown to you but known to God. If I pray in an unknown tongue, notice this, what happens? My spirit prays. So in other words, when you're praying in tongues, you're not praying from a mental standpoint or a physiological standpoint. You're praying from the spirit. You're praying from the inside without actually using your mind, although your mind is yielded to it and you decide, I'm going to do it. And so that's why you don't understand it. A lot of people say, I don't know what I'm saying. Well, you're not supposed to understand it all the time. Unless you pray for interpretation, if God gives you it, fine. But if not, don't worry about it. He said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, listen to this, my spirit prays. So if you pray in tongues, your spirit prays. The Amplified Version says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. That's a pretty good translation. So in other words, if I'm praying in tongues, I'm praying by the Holy Spirit. So I'm cooperating with the Holy Spirit. So I'm yielding my vessel. I'm yielding my tongue to Him. And I'm praying with the Spirit. I'm praying by the Spirit. He's praying out of me. So say, how do you do that? Well, you do it by faith. You don't just try. You don't just wait and wait for some kind of feeling to get on you. No, you do it by your will. That's by faith. So my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Notice this, verse 15. I will pray with the Spirit. Now, I want you at home to say this. I will pray with the Spirit. Say this at home. I will pray with the Spirit. In other words, you're going to will to pray in the Spirit. You didn't say you wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you to make you pray. No, you have to will to pray. I will myself. It's like you say, I will to go and drink a glass of milk. I will to go to sleep at 11:30. That's the same kind of will. You see, I'm going to pray in tongues. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm just going to pray in tongues. So you could do that right now. If you're a born-again Christian, by faith right now, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongues right now. By your own will. You don't have to wait for some exorcist to come over you and your eyes all flipping around, shaking around. And you can Some people have that experience. Not everybody does. My wife just said, I'm going to pray in tongues. And she started praying in tongues. For me, I had to get, I had to get drunk. I had that experience, but not everybody gets that experience. For some reason that God gave me an experience where I went out in the Spirit and I prayed for, I don't know, half an hour, or I can't remember, it was seemingly, was a short time, but apparently I prayed in a long time. And in a church service, I was in and out of the Spirit. And so, you will to pray with the Spirit. And then I will pray with understanding. In other words, you will to pray with your mind. When you pray with your mind, you just pray about whatever you think about that needs to be prayed about. Whatever you think about scriptures that would be applied to a certain situation, that's what you use. You pray, healing, and you find healing scriptures, and you pray those scriptures for that person. But there are some cases where you have no recollection about how to help someone. You don't have a scripture. Say, for instance, somebody's there dying in a hospital. You don't know what he believes. You don't know what he said before he went into unconsciousness. You don't know, if he believes in God. You don't understand what his intentions was in his spirit. So how are you going to pray the will of God? Well, you got to find a way to pray for someone. If someone asks you to pray for someone, they call you to the ICU and you're a Christian, they say, you should pray for someone. We want you to come pray. And you're there. What are you going to do? Twiddle your thumbs and say, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. Everybody's looking at me. The doctor's looking at you. Nurses are looking at you. And they're actually intimidating you and you don't know what to do. Well, you have to have confidence. You got to be sure that you know what you're doing. And so, but my understanding is unfruitful, it says in there. But anyway, so let's go. You can choose to pray with tongues or in the Spirit. You can will to pray in the Spirit over about something. Or you can pray with the mental faculties using your known language, using Scripture. You know, one good way to pray about different things, and I do it regularly for you as your member of this family, of this Faith City Church, I pray scriptures for you, like the Pauline prayers, the prayer that he prayed over in chapter 1 in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16, I think to 22, somewhere under 23. Then in chapter 3 verse 16 down to again 20 or somewhere on there, and those are what we call the Ephesians prayer. They're spirit breath or breathe scriptures that Paul was praying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's praying the will of God. You can use those prayers to pray for yourself or pray for other people that you know that the will of God be done. Or you can take a scripture that you know for sure that God wants, and you can pray that scripture for that person. Say, for instance, you take, I believe it was Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I think that's what it is. You pray, for it is God who works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. I don't know if that's a verse of scripture. Am I doing the right scripture, guys? So many in this realm, in the spiritual realm, or in this natural realm. Let me just go to that verse of scripture. Somebody said, my wife said, yes. So if my wife said it, then it must be true. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. In fact, let's go to Philippians chapter 1 first. And let's go to verse 6. Paul here, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's saying that God started a work in you when you got born again. He's doing something in you right now. In fact, did you know that God's working in you right now? He's doing something in your life. You might not think nothing's happening in your life, but God is moving right now in your life. He's doing something. All the staff here got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, there's not that many here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 of us in here, plus the angels. And we're permitted to have 10 in this room or this church. Praise God. Amen? So if I was going to pray for them, that'd be a good prayer. That'd be a good scripture to pray. Father, I want to thank you that Pastor Ken, He needs to stay in the realm of the Spirit. He needs to stay. You know, that you perform a good work in him, I want to thank you. That you started a good work in Pastor Kent. Well, you know, that you're going to perform it. You're going to do it until, if Jesus doesn't come, and doesn't tarry his coming, he's still going to be performing whatever you call him to do. I pray that prayer for him. And then I'll go over here, Philippians chapter 2. Maybe he doesn't want to do certain things. You know, sometimes we don't want to do certain things because we're selfish at times. Say, for instance, he got selfish. I asked him to give me his bike. He didn't want to give it to me. He bought a brand new bike, and I said, Lord, I said to him, maybe you could give me that bike. He says, no, his bicycle is going to give me a bicycle. So Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, let's look at this. It could be for anybody. I mean, you're going to pray for someone. They're not doing what God wants them to do. Well, we could pray for them. Because I found a lot of scriptures that actually say this. I'm thank God I found this scripture because I found the Old Testament scriptures first. I was wondering if it continues in the New Testament. But it does. The Bible said, if I give myself to working with God and give my life to God, the scripture says that God will actually drop his will in my children. Now, that doesn't always seem real all the time, but it's true. They might be doing totally the opposite of what God wants them to do. But if I stay with God, if I serve God 100%, I don't have to worry about them. In a sense, I mean, mentally I could be touched by my infirmities about worrying about someone. I have to push that off and give it back to God and believe that God is working in them. Or any other Christian or any other believer that comes to this church or that I'm have authority over as a pastor. And if I pray for them, they're not doing well. So I pray that these prayers is going to work. So I'm praying, I'm praying the word to abide in me. If I believe the scripture, I let it become real to me so that I can pray with confidence over that situation. Can you understand that? Over here, at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will, number one, and to do of his good pleasure. Let me go read this in the Amplified Version. For it is not your strength, but it is God who effectively is at work in you, both to will and to work, that is, strengthening, energizing, creating in you a longing and the ability to fulfill his purposes and his goodwill. We don't always want to serve God because, you know, sometimes you get too much over there in the flesh and you're just having a great party, having a great time, and you don't think about the things of God. Because sometimes what happens to people is they have so much fun in the world, they forget God. That's why God had to tell the Israelites, hey, listen, when you got nice houses, you're driving nice cars, got nice shoes, all your kids are in bed, and you got food on the table. Hey, don't forget me. Remember, it is me that brought you out of Egypt, and I blessed you. And a lot of people, Jesus said in chapter 4 of Mark, that some people get pulled away from the things of God because they have so much good things happening in their lives. The riches of this world takes them away. So it's not just because you have bad problems that you leave church or leave the things of God. It's because you're having so much fun doing all those good things. In Romans chapter 12, or Philippians chapter 12, or excuse me, Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says in there that, you know, what does it say? It says in there that you can have a great time. Let's go look at it. We'll come back to the scripture in a moment. Philippians, Hebrews, chapter 11 or chapter 12. Let's read this. Chapter 12, verse 1. I'm reading King James. Sometimes I have a hard time reading King James because, to teach from it is a little hard because you. Not everybody. You have to interpret everything. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses. We don't use the word compassed about. I never use that word once, unless I'm reading the King James. Compassed about. Hey, you know, we're being compassed about with a lot of cars over here. No, we don't say that. We say a different thing. So notice this. Let us lay aside every weight. He didn't say, let God do it. No, you do something. When it comes to doing the following the will of God, a lot of us, We like to put that off on God, that God, if God takes it away, he takes it away. If he takes me to take the urge for me to stop doing this, he'll take the urge away. I heard people say, oh, if God wants me to quit smoking, he'll take it away. Well, he doesn't smoke. He don't want to take it off away from you. That's what he says, you know. So let us lay aside every weight. Weights are just things that come in your life that take the place where God should be. There are activities and different things in your life that you're doing that's not God. They're not sins. They're just things that are just normal, everyday things. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that which just easily beset us, and let us run with patience that is set before us. So there are things that you have to do in your natural flesh to get rid of so that you can walk with God more closely. Let's go back to Philippians. So you have a choice to allow certain things to enter your life, and you might get to a point where this stuff is taking over your life. Like some people have addictions, and all of a sudden their body hijacks their will. They can't seem to have to, they don't have the power to overcome certain things. So let's go over here, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 again. Let's read some different scriptures. I want to read it from the NLT. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I like that. God is working in you. Now, he's working in you right now. There's some things you probably don't want to do. I know a lot of folks, they want to serve God, but they don't want to do certain things. Or, you know, some people say, well, God, I want to serve you, but don't send me to China. You know, I remember praying a prayer. I want to serve God, but, you know, I don't want to live in this town or that town. And I remember praying that prayer years ago, in 1981, I believe it was. And I was asking God, that I gave my heart to God. I was 24 years old, somewhere around there. And then I said, God, I just finished college. I said, you know, I just got born again, this, you know, pretty recently. And I thought I was a Christian before that. I thought I was actually with God, but I found out I wasn't born again. So I committed my life to Jesus. And I was looking for a job after graduating. And I laid before me the things that I want to do. And I said, God, I want to follow your will. Here are 5 areas, 5 jobs, 5 cities that I'm supposed to go to. Sudbury, you know, Fort Francis, Kenora, and, you know, Atikokan. I mean, different ones. I don't think Atikokan, Nipigon, and Geraldton. So I laid out and said, Lord, here are 5 jobs. You can send me anywhere, but I want to do what you will, but don't send me to Kenora. And guess where I landed up? In Kenora. And Lord gave me a scripture. I didn't know where it's going. Hebrews 11:6, it says that Abraham was called, didn't know where he was going, didn't know what he was going to do. So the Lord called me to there. And when I went to Kenora, I had a tremendous encounter with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit in my room. It changed my life. Because God had to take me out of town, get me away from all the occurrences around here and all my familiarity, and take me to a place where he actually talked to me. So I was there. I was very sad and lonely. But I found a church somewhere, a service every day, and prayed every day, prayed a lot of prayer, and studied the Bible in my basement apartment every day, every single day, hours at a time sometimes, every day. And I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And so new living is real to me. I know that if I can pray this prayer, I can have faith that no matter what somebody is doing, could be my children, could be my best friend or my relative or a congregation member, I could pray for them and God will give them a desire to follow him even when they don't want to. Because God knows best and he knows the will for us. The Bible says, I believe it's Psalm 139, that God has written a book about us and he's already detailed everything he wants us to do. And it's better to be in the will of God than to be out of it. He said, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Isn't that something? Somebody said, hip, hip, hooray. That's a good scripture, Pastor. But I want to show you something before we get out of here. So you can pray 2 ways. You can pray out of your mentality, And that's very limited because you're not educated enough in the whole Bible to know everything about the will of God. But we know someone who lives inside you. And when you got born again, he's called the Holy Spirit and he lives inside you. And when you yield to him in prayer, he's going to pray the perfect will of God out of your spirit. But he needs the world. He needs someone human in this world to bring his will. John Wesley says, it seems that God is limited to move in this world unless someone in this world prays. The Bible says, if two shall agree concerning anything on earth, when they pray, believe. You know, so we have to do that. No, so speaking in tongues is speaking mysteries. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says, he that speaketh in a tongue or unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands them, howbeit in the spirit. Notice that he that speaketh or pray in an unknown tongue, he notices, I want you to notice this, howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. So speaking in tongues is speaking in the spirit, is talking to God in the spirit. So when you pray in tongues, you're talking to God. And you're not talking out of your mind, you're talking out of your spirit by the Holy Spirit. And he's praying and asking God, asking the Father to bring the will of God to manifest in your life or the life of those you're praying. Because you don't know how to pray. You're limited. So in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. That word mysteries is the will of God. If you look at other interpretations, you see in other verses of Scripture, you see that same word is talking about the will and plan and purposes of God. So when you're praying in tongues, you're praying the will of God, the purposes of God for that situation. So Paul says, in verse 5, he said, I wish that you all pray in tongues. Well, it's by the Holy Spirit Paul is praying. He's not saying this himself, but he's saying this by the Holy Spirit. He said, I pray that you all pray. He wants you to pray in tongues for certain situations that you've been trying to grapple with for so long. There's a satisfaction when you pray in tongues that you can't get with your mentality. And so, verse 18, he says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. And you know, those Corinthians, they prayed in tongues a whole lot. They prayed in tongues a whole lot that it actually confused people who came inside there because they were speaking in tongues a lot. There was a good church. And so Paul said, I pray in tongues more than those guys. So Paul did all his praying. He did most of his praying in tongues, in the Spirit. And I want to confess to you that I rarely pray in English. I pray in English only when I have the scriptures about something that I think I understand about a scripture. I will use that to pray about certain things. But 98% of the time, I pray in tongues about stuff. Because I have to understand, you have to trust the Holy Spirit that he knows how to get things done. I want to show you something. So the Bible talks about, in Isaiah 66:8, he said, Who has heard such a thing? Who had seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, notice that, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now, Zion is a term used in the New Testament to refer to the church of the living God. The Bible interprets itself, it fits like a puzzle. So travailing, he says, travailing, she brought forth her children. We understand this, that, you know, churches, we need to pray in the Spirit so that more babies will be born into the kingdom of God. Travailing is a type of praying with the leading of the Holy Spirit and the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to depend on the Spirit more than we depend on our own mentality, our own selves. This kind of praying brings God's will into manifestation. As far as people are concerned, travail is not done on your own ability. You can't just say, I'm going to travail here. I'm going to start to travail. No, you have to allow yourself, let God do it. I remember years ago, my sister was quite a bit of a prayer warrior. And I had a call in the midnight hour. And you know, he called me, and I was sleeping. My wife were in bed, and he says, all excited, you know. He says, "Hey, Roma, what's happened to your sister? I just found her in the living room. She's just groaning away." And I said, "Oh, don't worry about it. She's just praying in the spirit, praying." He said, "That's not my kind of prayer." You know, so people don't understand this kind of praying. So she found my sister in travail, in the spirit, in the living room. And he's in his upstairs in his room. He heard somebody downstairs praying in the spirit. I remember one of our older members of this church, you know, God got a hold of her with this kind of praying, and she got things done in the spirit. And she's praying in the Holy Spirit, and she was just rise early and go to the church in the morning. And then we rented a building as a church. I wasn't a pastor then. I was part of the leadership team. And so this one of our old-time members began to, the Holy Spirit got a hold of her, and she began to travail in the spirit, and she started to groan in the spirit. And someone phoned the police. And the rap came on the door and said, "What's going on here?" We thought someone's getting injured. So that person was praying in the spirit. And my brother-in-law thought my sister, there was something wrong with her. Well, she's travailing in the spirit. That's something you don't do by yourself. It's the spirit has to do it. You don't just say, No, you don't do that yourself. The Holy Spirit has to do it for you. Do it through your life. And so it says in here, who had such a thing? So Zion travailed. So in other words, he's saying Zion's travailing. So in the New Testament, we need to start travailing, pray this kind of prayer. It's supernatural praying. It's not mental praying. It's like giving birth to a child. That's what he's talking about. And you know that any woman can't just give birth to a child on her own. You can't just say, "I'm going to just have a child right here." No. That happened to Mary. Mary, God gave her, you know, the incarnate Son of God came through her by the Holy Spirit. But not that's going to happen. You know, it's kind of a funny story. Someone told me that happened to them one time, but it wasn't true. They were like, something wrong with them. But anyway, you need to understand that we need to pray this kind of prayer. You can't travail on your own like a woman can give birth on her own. So Zion is actually the church that he's talking about over here in Isaiah 66:4. This is a prophetic word spoken. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm not going to read, you can read verse 18 to 23 on your own. Verse 22 of Hebrews 12 says, "But you are coming to Mount Sion," or Zion, "unto the church of the living God and a heavenly Jerusalem, unto an innumerable company of angels." Verse 23 says, "to a general assembly of the church of the firstborn, to the spirits of just men made perfect." He's talking about the church. So this Zion is us praying. He's talking about Zion is us. Notice this. This also gives you an enlightenment. Galatians 4 and 19. Paul is talking to the children of Galatia, or the church at Galatia. He says, "My little children..." See, Paul was a father to these people in that church. He was a spiritual father to them. He said, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again." Well, he travailed before for them, and now he's travailing for them again. He said, "I travail in birth again." Notice this, why? "Until Christ is formed in them." In other words, he's praying that the will of God, that they'll be formed into the will of God and the plan of God, and God's purpose is God's will. And so we need to travail in this kind of prayer. And so we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. And I want to give you this, Romans 8, 26, 28, and we're going to close with this. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought." That's a very good understanding that we can't pray like we need to know how to pray for everything. We ought to pray, but we don't pray like we should be. "But the Spirit himself," or itself, it says itself, King James is wrong here. Itself, the Spirit is not itself, it's a himself. What does he do? He makes intercession. For who? For us. How? With groanings. That word groanings means inarticulate speech. Not your known regular speech. Not out of your mentality. This is praying in your spirit. Groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, you cannot articulate this in regular speech. When somebody's articulate, it means they're clear. They're very concise. And they're very expressive. in what you're saying. So when you're praying in tongues, you're not doing intellectually. You're not being concise with your mentality, but you're praying in your spirit the will of God. And this, you have to understand, this is a spirit praying. And he that searches the hearts, you're talking about God. He that searches the hearts, God knows little hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has a mind, and he's doing what God wants him to do, because he makes intercession, that is, the Holy Spirit makes intercession, notice this, for the saints, according to the will of God. In other words, he's going to pray what he thinks is best for the saints or for a person, the will of God. Last verse scripture. And we know that all things work together. Why? Because they're praying the will of God. All things will work together for them who love God, to them who are called according to the purpose or purpose. So we need to learn how to pray more with groanings and begin to give ourselves to this kind of praying. We need to teach more on this, of course. We'll come back to this next time. God bless every one of you. I want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for every one of saints of God that are here right now. We pray that everyone here that's watching, those that need to turn themselves to you, maybe today it's another level of giving themselves to you, of surrender, another level of consecration, maybe something they're giving up tonight. Maybe it's another level of dedication. Maybe it's something they had never dedicated themselves in an area before. In Jesus' name, I pray that we would all begin to do this right now, surrender to your will and plan and purposes. In Jesus' name, if you've not been born again, ask yourself right now, am I born again? If not, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved in your house and all your house. The Bible says, 16:25, I believe it is, Acts, he said, when you get saved, God promises to save your whole family. And I read in the Old Testament that when you give yourself to God, God promises to change the hearts of your children. God bless you. We see you Sunday. God bless every one of you. Bye-bye for now.